Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Talking Some Sense. Alongside me today, I've got Alex Longua.
Alfie.
And I've got Chris Sinclair.
Bonjour.
How are you doing today, folks?
Doing real well, thank you for asking.
Doing fantastic.
Guys, got anything fun in the last week or so you guys are doing?
Well, we watched the Sens win Sweden, so that was good.
Yeah, that was up, a highlight. Yeah, that's fair.
I put up a tree. Tis the season. Tis the season for giving, and the Sens just give and take away. So
fair. Yeah. Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment in Sens land.
I always say there's never a dull moment when you're an Ottawa Senators fan. And this past, week or so is a perfect example of that. And we'll get into that.
That's why I like being a Sens fan. I never know what to expect. You're going to go into this season thinking you're going to be a playoff contender? Halfway through the season, almost end of November? Who knows where we are? You know, this is one of those things where it's like, they just keep you guessing.
At least we're close enough to the playoffs compared to last year. I know we're like the odds of making the playoffs are probably not great at the current moment in time, but at least we're 500. Not the expectation I had, but at least we're 500.
I just feel like every time I talk about playoffs or the Sens, I just picture that meme. Playoffs? We're talking about playoffs? You know,
I do think that I don't remember who put out the whether it was – it was some publication, whatever, it doesn't matter. They have us at 50 – I have to look at the updated stats, but I think it's 50% thereabouts for making the
56.1.
Playoff. There you go. So
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Listen, as someone who was failing math going into my final exams in high school, I always failed – and needed a 50% to get into the or to pass the course. I will say 2 years in a row failed going into the exam, passed the final exam. So if there's any hope, listen.
Are we supposed to celebrate that? Is that what the balloons are for?
Yeah, it was celebration. Trust me. I celebrated because I didn't want to have to do it again. So fair. The Sens will do it.
I like the odds.
Listen, the bar is real low for me, so that's fine.
Listen, I learned something about you today. It must be a Sens fan thing because I also failed math. So I needed a 50% to pass it, and I was like, let's go, and I got it. It was the happiest day of my life.
There we go.
That's Sens where fan. I'm the outlier here. I got 96 in my last year of math.
Once again, sore winner. Winners don't brag.
For context here,
what's happening here, folks, is that Alex is chirping me because I'm clearly smarter than him. Okay, no, all kidding aside, I was making a joke about leading most polls except for this current poll at the current time of recording. I haven't checked the last. I'm pretty sure Chris is still winning, which is obviously a sham because we all know I'm the smartest man in hockey. But
Jake had a drink of alcohol before this game, and I think it's getting to his head. So
we don't talk about that. We do not talk about that. But with that being said, we've had a while since our last episodes. Our last episode, we interviewed Sean Simpson. Or actually, I think we had an episode after that. I don't remember for sure, though. No, that's right. Our last episode, we interviewed Sean Simpson. And we took a little bit of a hiatus while the Senators were in Sweden. And we took a bit of time to reevaluate our show just really quickly. And we're going to now jump into our next topic, where we're going to talk about the Sweden trip. First and foremost, I'm going to say it was really, really awesome to see the Senators pull 2-0 while having Daniel Alfredsson behind the bench. The Senators are undefeated with Alfie as coach. I'm just going to say that right now. And I'm going to let all fans overreact because why the hell not? Go Alfie. Go Sens.
And that's why I said Alfie at the start. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Alfie. Good point. Very, very good point. I don't remember off the top of who scored the most goals, but the first thing that I remember is Tim Stützle's beautiful, beautiful home run goal. I'm calling it the home run goal because it was basically a baseball hit at this point. And I'm saying that as someone who does not watch any baseball. So come for me if you want, if I sucked and I completely messed up the term. But that's behind. I'm going to throw it to Chris. What were your thoughts on the Ottawa Senators Sweden trip?
I mean, do we want to just focus on the Detroit game or just in general?
However you'd like to take it. If you want to talk about one game at a time, feel free. If you want to talk about your feelings in general, that's up to you.
Oh, I like this. This freedom is this is great. I love this. What I would say is, so I would say, rather than extending this any longer than it needs to be, I would say their Sweden trip. So first of all, their social media, like, it was incredible. It was off the charts. Like, to be able to see them chatting and to be able, like, I think about the paddle ball, which I thought was pickleball. It turns out it's paddle ball.
It's pickleball and paddle ball are two different sports, but paddle ball is super popular over in Sweden. So
exactly, I think it's actually pronounced padel.
Oh yes, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. It was. Thank you, Jake, for correcting me there. I appreciate that. That was. It was incredible to see the team come together to play that, to do a tournament. No surprise, Alfie wins. We all knew that was going to happen. Even they predicted that would happen. But just to see them coming together and just hanging out, just going for dinner, all that sort of stuff, I think was great. Overall, in terms of the games, I'm gonna try to do my best to be super positive because they won both of the games. But did they really, like, one game went to overtime, one game went to a shootout, and they didn't actually play. I watched both games. Neither of those games did they actually play really well for, well, I mean, 60 minutes, 65 minutes, whatever we want to, however we want to extrapolate that. I would say overall, obviously, they came out with 2-0. I thought Corpusello in the first game versus Detroit was actually, he played fairly well. I think it was, again, I'm going to say this 1,000 times, but structure. That's what impacted their game both. Oh, I mean, their entire season so far, but these two games, I don't blame him for, I think there was only one goal from what I recall that I thought he should have had. Outside of that, I thought he played fairly well. But I do think that it's structure that is impacting them, not being unable to create, or to, and this is, again, we'll get into this in a minute from their last game, but they're unable to create consistent defensive structure, which means that they're not able to transition their game to the neutral zone and create offensive structure where they're like, or offensive pressure rather. And I think that really impacted their game over in Sweden, which resulted in them having to take extra time to win those two games. But I will say, Forsberg, he obviously playing in front of family, playing in front of friends, playing in his home country. Forsberg, I think, despite the fact that they didn't actually, there weren't a ton of shots against Minnesota, I think Forsberg played the better of the two games overall. I really, really liked how strong Forsberg came out right from the start, sound positioning, really read those shots. And we also saw a lot more team defense. So we saw the forwards playing defense, the defenders obviously playing defense. And that was something that really stood out to me. Overall, like, it was great to see Ottawa on a big stage. I love that. But overall, it was like, meh. Ottawa just seemed to, like, they just seemed to be able to get the last shot and score. But overall, I wasn't super impressed with them.
Yeah, I mean, really the only thing I'll take away from this trip is Claude Giroux being like, "Who's your daddy?" Let's be real. That's the only thing that stuck in my head for that. But on a more serious note, yeah, they didn't play great, but they came home with the wins, which ultimately is all that matters. I will say though, like if for fans who aren't like the global series is all about growing the game, and the Sens definitely put on two very entertaining games for newcomers to the game or for those who are trying to for the NHL. This is probably best case scenario for the NHL. Both those games went to overtime or a shootout, and the Tim Stützle just kind of, you know, he's like, you want to watch hockey? Here's what you're missing, and so kind of put on a show. So I mean, overall successful for the NHL in that way, but. I agree, Chris. Like, I don't know how many times we can say this on the podcast, but structure, like, it's so frustrating because it's like, you know, this team's way better than what they're doing, but they just collapse. Like, they come out and you're like, oh, they either come out really flat and then figure it out too little too late, or they come out really bad and then they finally figure it out and then they figure it out late again. Like, it's like they never come out and play a full 60 minutes. There's always a dip in their game that always costs them every single time, whether. And I hate being saying negative stuff right now because we did get the 4 points at the end of the day, but you know, we come off that high and we're gonna get to it, but then we get to the Islanders game, and even though I didn't watch most of it, I already could tell what was happening. So structure is not there. So I mean, it was nice to see the social media content from the Sens was top tier. Them tweeting in Swedish was top class. That, I don't know if you guys seen that Chris Phillips content where Chris Phillips is on the street and they're asking the fans who that was. Like, we need more of that stuff, man. Like, that stuff is what I think really engages the fans a lot more than, especially with a team that's kind of mediocre right now. I'm all for that stuff, but in terms of the ice, like in terms of the performance on the ice, something needs to change, because like, again, I said this last time, I'm on a roller coaster. I'm on a roller coaster of my life right now with the Sens. It's just like, you feel you start going up and up and up and up, and then I'd stop like this. You're like, should I keep going up? Should I keep going down? And then just drop down. And then a quick turn up, quick drop down. It's like, holy moly. That's why my hair's all over the place. I just can't get off. It's just like, I don't know. I'm kind of speechless because I don't know what else to say. Like, it's just like the same thing over and over again. It's like, we got the 4 points, but barely. Like, that being said, though, if it wasn't for the goaltenders, like, this team would be way worse than where they are. Like, Korpisalo hasn't been, you know, I know people see people online saying Korpisalo hasn't been limited to his contract or whatever, but without Korpisalo, who knows? He's kept us in so many games, and including that one, the game against Detroit, like, we probably would have lost that if it wasn't for him. In Forsberg's credit, he's getting better. He's fine. I think you know, him missing the season last year with the double injury, and then slowly not playing every game, he's slowly starting to find his groove a little bit more. I'm not saying he's like an all-star by any means, but I'm slowly feeling a bit more comfortable with him back there. So I know I ripped on him last podcast, and crazy how three games can change something, but I just feel like he's getting there. So they need to figure out the defensive structure again, and they'll be fine. But something needs to change. One of the coaches needs to go. I'm just going to say that, and you guys can comment, you guys can reply, you can do whatever, and DM us or whatever with who you think that should be. But I'm saying one of the coaches needs to go, and I'll leave it at that.
Oh, I love that. I love some hot takes. That's good. That's fair. I absolutely agree. I would say defensive structure. It's like, and I've said this before, I've tweeted it out, like, defensive structure is my 2023-2024 meaningful games. I've said this before, and I never in my life want to hear myself or see myself write down defensive structure ever again. And if it's every once in a while, that's fine. But like, overall, I never want to see myself write that down.
Or it's like, rest is a weapon. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to hear it again. Like,
absolutely.
I'm going to give them to the end of 2023 to figure this shit out. And if not, like, watch out. I'm going to be unleashed.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's totally fair. And I think, Alex, you bring up a couple of good points. I think, so obviously we've talked about, and Jake, I'm going to throw it to you in a moment just to kind of get your ideas or your thoughts about where we're at. But I would say a couple of things. So we've talked a lot about defensive structure. We've talked about a lot about, you know, it sucks that they didn't necessarily come out every game strong and all that sort of stuff. At the end of the day, they did win. So that's great. However they got there doesn't, I mean, it does matter, but they got the points. So that's great. Alex, you mentioned Stützle's goal, which was unbelievable. I watched that and I literally still watch it because to watch. So I actually watched Jose Bautista get that home run, just crush it and do the bat flip. That's the NHL's version of what that moment was, at least for me. Hot takes, I love them. that was unbelievable. And it just the hand-eye coordination, the timing to make sure that it was under the bar so you wouldn't get called for high sticking. It was incredible. It was unbelievable. And then Josh Norris's goal, shootout goal, as much as I hate the shootout and I want it to be gone out of the league so badly, his shootout goal, that was a snipe. That was, I think, something that's he's going to be able to draw upon to be able to be like, yes, I've got this, because he obviously has been away from the league for a little while.
Sorry, Chris, I just want to cut you off real quick. Jake put in the chat that he wants to get Stützle's goal tattooed on his left butt cheek. So if this episode gets 10 reposts and 5 comments, Jake, you have to get it tattooed on your left butt cheek.
No.
It's been stated. I mean, it's yeah. Sorry, folks. You have to make sure you do that because we got to get that photo of Timmy.
Tattooed. I hate you, Alex.
I appreciate that. Yeah, so let's make sure that happens. And then I'll end and I'll throw it to none other than Jake, who's going to be freshly tattooed soon. Just by saying Norris, that goal, and Forsberg just being able to shut the door was watching that shootout. Man, I hate shootouts, but that was a good shootout. So taking some positives there. That's a couple of positives there. Jake, what are your thoughts?
So first and foremost, I will say it now. I want to get that photo. That photo, just him just smacking it in, tattooed on my left butt cheek. Not going to. If this episode actually reaches 100 shares, then I'll consider it. Not for 10. At 100, I'll do it.
Well, we got to start off slow here. 10. It's going to look like he's slapping your ass with a stick. I'm just saying.
Oh my God. Anyways, I'll move on. I'll echo what Chris said in the beginning, that the social media has taken a step up big time in a recent little bit. I'm very happy with it. Not Craig Medaglia, because Craig Medaglia was the GOAT, but I'm very, very happy with the direction our social media team has taken, because it's definitely getting a lot better than it was for a little bit. And we're back to pretty respected social media around the NHL. I really love that whole Padel tournament. I will say, I will ask you really quickly, before this Sweden trip, did either of you know what Padel was or no?
Yes.
What about you, Chris?
You know what, for the sake of this, yeah, absolutely. I knew exactly what it was.
I will say the only reason why I knew what Padel was because of the bar down video that was done, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years ago, where Jesse, he's the tall one, right? Who wore 69? Jesse, right? I'm pretty sure it's Jesse.
Sure, yeah.
He goes, oh yeah, in the quizzes, the bar down quizzes. Anyways, the tall guy, who was a fan of the Winnipeg Jets, he traveled to Ottawa for a Padel game against Daniel Alfredsson and Alfie's brother. Alfie won, definitely. But that video is what introduced me to Padel. I'm not a Padel expert by any means, but it was nice to see that it was being brought back, because it's a very big thing for Alfredsson. And if my memory serves me correct, it's a very growing sport, and not only in the city of Ottawa, but also in Sweden. I don't know if it's competitive yet, but we might see a competitive scene for Padel in the next few years, if not longer.
It's massive in Sweden.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah,
we have a Swedish player on our team, and I'm like, "What are your plans for the summer?" And he explained it to me, and I was like, "What the heck?" But I followed him on Instagram, and it's just that's all it is. So
nice, that's cool. But I'm gonna echo that, and it's just nice to see that the Senators are really putting an importance on team bonding and learning about culture for this trip. It was really cool to see Daniel Alfredsson, Erik Brännström, Anton Forsberg, and even Jacob Larsson take on leadership roles for that trip and showing the team around type of thing. Obviously, you expect that of the Swedish players and a player and a thing like this, but it's always fun to see because last time around, we had Erik Karlsson, we had Gabriel Landeskog, we had pretty sure Johnny Oduya was on a team at that point, but I can't remember for sure. There were a bunch of Freddie Claesson, that's another one.
Freddie Claesson.
Yeah, Freddie Claesson. Freddie Claesson, Johnny Oduya, Erik Karlsson, Victor Stahlberg. He was not on the team at that point. He left the year before, that's right. But there were a lot of Swedish players there, and there's not as prominent Swedish players this time around, with nothing against Erik Brännström, but he's not Erik Karlsson. Antoine Forsberg isn't Henrik Lundqvist. We didn't have that volume, but we still had that like importance of it, and it was cool. But before I move on to anything else, I'm going to give each of you guys a quick opportunity to give your closing thoughts on the whole Swedish trip, other than the fact that we won, but it could have gone better.
Yeah, I think overall my closing thoughts are, first of all, I'm glad the team's embracing Alfie. Welcome back, Alfie. Much needed. It was a successful trip because they got the 4 points, but they still have a lot of work to do. Like they gave up a point to a divisional rival, which doesn't help. And then they go and play that Islanders game, the next game following, and it's like I don't know. But anyways, one last thing I will say though, do you guys see on social? It's supposed to be Ottawa gave up a home game for this, and two home games for these, and they're pumping a Detroit Red Wings noise meter in there. Like what the heck? I understand what they're trying to do, but it's like, why does Ottawa have to give up two home games?
Before Chris says, I will say this. As much as it does suck, I looked into I searched on Twitter. I looked into it, and it sounds like that the Ottawa Senators will be reimbursed for the average of what they usually make for games in this point in the calendar. Similarly to how the LA Kings will be reimbursed for that game in Quebec City during the preseason, next preseason. It's going to be the same type of idea. While it sucks, it really sucks that we lost two home games. I'm never going to give up an opportunity to wash the black jersey over the white jersey. So for me, at the end of the day, while it sucks, it's not the end of the world.
Fair. Anyways, Chris, I'll leave it up to you. That's my closing thought. Successful trip, and I'll leave it at that.
I'll be quick. wicked goal by Timmy Superstar. We came away with two wins. Great. Alfie looked incredible.
What a stud that man is. What a stud.
What a stud. We're 2-0 with him. I don't want him behind the bench, and that's we can get into that some other day. That's fine. But I love that he was there. They honored him. They appreciated him. And all of those things are so well-deserved. There are, Alex, you said, there are definitely issues. But I'm trying to look at – I'll look at it and say, we won. Timmy got a great goal. Arguably the goal of the year. I'll take a hot take and I'll say it's the goal of the year. And Alfie just looks incredible there. Those are my final thoughts.
If Alex has nothing to say, I will add on to this. We are definitely going to talk more about Alfie and what role we want him on for the future. But I will take this up. We'll say that in a later episode. But I will take this as an opportunity to say, I don't know what role I want Alfie in, but I want him in a role he cannot be fired. That's all I'm going to say in terms of that. And I'm pretty sure Chris echoes that sentiment. And I hope Alex echoes that sentiment as well, because I don't want to be a fan.
Stay tuned. We'll see.
Yeah. We'll talk more about it at a later point. But I don't want to be a fan who's pissed off at Albertson because of everything that he's done for the city of Ottawa. And at the end of the day, every head coach will be fired. every general manager will be fired. I don't want to fire Alfie. So we'll discuss at a later date. But unless anybody else has anything to say, we're going to move on to
Ottawa. I'm doing my best impression of Jake. Hey, guys, I'm going to save it for a later date. But this is why I don't want this to happen. Oh, we're going to save it for a later date. Oh, this is why I don't want this to happen. Okay.
How rude. I see it's a Rygon Jake episode, eh?
That's it has right. to be, man.
That's all right. It's all right. I'm the clown here. We all know that. Yeah. Anyways, moving on. We're going to talk about the next week for the Ottawa Senators. We're going to talk a bit about it, their game against the Florida Panthers on the 27th. Then we're going to talk about their game against the Columbus Blue Jackets on the 1st. And to finish off, their game against the Seattle Kraken on the 2nd. But first and foremost, what do you guys think against the Florida Panthers? Win or loss, Battle of Tkachuk. I'm going to throw it over to Chris.
I think this is going to – I mean, I don't want to be that guy that keeps talking about structure and stuff like that, but if they don't come out with structure, like the Florida Panthers, I actually didn't have them ranked in quite so high in the East coming into the season. I thought that they would take it – like the fact that they came in as a wild card last season – and had a great run, but I didn't think that they would be so successful this year. I would say like this is arguably one of their stronger opponents that they've faced so far this season, and one of their biggest opportunities to define who they are as a team. And if they don't come out with structure, I hate it just as much as everyone listening and watching. I hate that I keep saying.
You can find Chris on Twitter at Chris Structure St. Clair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I feel like that's exactly. Yeah, absolutely. But I would say if they don't come up with that, with structure, and do it for a cliched full 60 minutes, they will not win this game. And I really want them to win this game. I really do. But I just don't see it happening if they are on, because Florida is going to capitalize on that within moments. You're going to see their – what Florida does is they are able to create sustained pressure a full game. Maurice is so good at creating structure for a full game. If Ottawa isn't able to push back on that and challenge that, we're going to have problems. And I think that this coming week – I mean, maybe not so much against Columbus, but I would say this coming week is going to be a defining moment for this team where it's, you know what, we are able to create sustained pressure, structure in which we're able to not just have the defenders or the goaltenders, defensively sound, but also have all players who are committed to playing defense. That includes the forwards, and be able to transition that through the neutral zone, the offensive zone, and create sustained pressure in the offensive zone, then we're not going to be successful. So I hope that's going to happen. As a Sens fan, I hope that's going to happen, obviously. But I think this is that moment in the season where we are going to define what the Ottawa Senators are and where we see the future is going to be in terms of coaching. And
yeah. Perfect. I love that. I'm going to just be Mr. Optimism, but also going to throw a bit of pessimism in there because we're the Ottawa Senators, can't have too much positivity. But I think they're going to win this one. And the main reason, I think they're going to win, but I also worry they're going to win. And here's why. They're going to win because Brady Tkachuk was pissed off after that Islanders game. And he has something to prove. He's going to go out and carry that team into victory. I almost guarantee it. You're going to see Brady, like probably one of Brady's best games is going to be Monday. Or, yeah, Monday, right? Yeah, they play tomorrow against the Panthers. So one of Brady's best games this season is going to be tomorrow, for sure. I worry they're going to win because DJ Smith gets to keep his job extra long, and he's from what I've seen on Twitter, he's messed up all the lines and trying something different. And if we win, he's going to try and stick with that. And I do not like that. So that is my worry. I also think it's probably one, arguably, and I agree with Chris's point, I don't know about the two other games because Seattle and Columbus aren't as strong and they're not in the conference or the division, but I think Monday's game might be one of the most important games of all of the season right now. Just like where they are in the standings, how they need to answer back. Like, we don't have really an identity right now. It's like we need to find some consistency. And like Chris said, Florida's one of the top teams. Like, they're one of the toughest teams I always faced this year. And if they can come off of the Islanders game and then beat a top team and handle adversity that way, then it'll be okay. But they could honestly easily come out so flat that they just get blown out of the water in this game. Like, that always seems to be the case. DJ, for some reason, or can't get his team to start off hot. And that's my biggest worry against Florida, because I feel like, I don't know, I think they're going to win this because of Brady alone, but I worry they're going to win because, yeah, because then DJ's going to think what he's doing is fine, and it's going to give them a sense of false hope. But they need to win this one for us Sens fans, for two, to give hope to the players, and for three, to really kind of stabilize themselves. And, you know, if they can beat a team like Florida, then we know there's something there at least.
Yeah, I'm only going to push back on one thing, Alex, and yeah. I would say at least for the past, you know, let's say four games or so, they've started out really well. So sure. That's something I've noticed is they've started out with really strong structure. I hate it. Really good pressure. It's so fast paced. It's great. Yeah. They're unable to sustain that, and it's like they're slowly moving up from like 3 minutes of good structure and pressure to 5 minutes to 10 minutes. But can they sustain that for the full 20 minutes of every period?
Especially with a team like Florida, right? Like, we've seen in the playoffs last year, they're a very physical team. They all run you into the ground. Like,
exactly.
Like, if you don't have structure, like, and you can't play a full 60 minutes, they're going to make you pay. That's how they made it to the cup final last year. I don't care what anybody says. They didn't have most skilled players, but they just ran teams into the ground. And by the 50, you know, the 50 minute mark of the game, like, teams were dead tired. Playing against them.
Exactly. And that's why I think that, you know, if we're looking at skill, I would say arguably, you know, it's a really even match. I would say maybe you could give the award to Ottawa to a degree. I would say if everyone's playing and everyone's playing at their top, like the top level, I would say arguably you could say Ottawa's probably a little bit ahead. But to your point, Alex, it's the defenders. It's that, like, they've committed to a system that works really well for them, works really well for their goaltending, and at the end of the day is so difficult and so challenging to play against that I don't know that Ottawa, and I love that you said that they don't have there's no identity with Ottawa.
Yeah.
And there, it's true. There isn't. There is with Florida. There isn't with Ottawa. So that's why I think the Florida game, if they can come out with that win, and I do hope that they do, then that's what they need to. That's what DJ needs to sit back and say, okay, this is how we won. This is who we are. Let's play like this. Let's keep these lines together, because then that's how we're going to be successful. And I don't think that DJ is ready to do that.
No, and just talking about this, like I feel like DJ wants to have a similar system to Florida, but he's just not Paul Maurice. He just can't keep it going, and that's my worry. Like, Florida's doing this without Aaron Ekblad too. Like, it's insane. Like, when Ekblad comes back, like, I don't care if people say it. Florida's a threat to the cup every year until they're not. So they're so good.
I'm pretty sure Ekblad came back just 2 games ago. I could be wrong about that, but I remember seeing a tweet a couple days ago about both Ekblad and Montour being back. I could be wrong.
Well, if that's the case, then Ottawa's losing.
We'll see. Florida's been very impressive. Florida's been very impressive.
Top defenseman on Florida? Are you kidding me?
I echo your statement. So I think that Florida is definitely one of, if not the most important matchups for Ottawa this season. Ottawa's got to be able to gain some ground because right now, if I don't have the standings right in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Florida's closer to the playoffs than Ottawa is, considering Ottawa's last in the conference. So divisional games like these are the most important ones right now for the Ottawa Senators. If they want to reach the playoffs by at least a wild card spot, they've got to win these games. This is a must win. This
is also the last game in November, so just saying.
and currently, just so everyone knows, Ottawa is currently sitting 15th in the Eastern Conference. They are last in the Atlantic with an 8-8-0 record. So they definitely – winning this would be a big win for them.
Yeah. Very good point. We'll move on to two other games too, because we obviously need to cover. I mean, the Columbus game, I Columbus is no slouch either. Like, I mean, they're not great, but like the way they play, they're a pretty offensive, like a high tempo team. Like they get pucks to the net, which, I mean, that seems to be Ottawa's ultimate downfall, is their again defensive structure. So we'll see really how they handle. I think they'll beat Columbus. The Seattle game, I don't know. The Seattle games are, I think Seattle game go to overtime, and it could go either way, to be honest. Because I feel like Ottawa and Seattle are both trying to play some very similar hockey. And sometimes Seattle succeeds, sometimes they don't. So,
yeah, so maybe what I could say is I agree with you. I would say, and this pains me to say it, I hope I'm wrong. Lose against Florida, win against Columbus. And then they're going to overtime, and they're going to – well, this is going to be a hot take. They're going to win against Seattle.
Cool. So they're going to go 2-1 this week.
Yeah.
I honestly could be happy with that. Like they need to come out with a positive side for sure this week. They can't go 1-2 or 0-3. If they go 0-3, fire DJ right there. You can't bounce. Not that you bounce back, but if you go 0-3, you're going to be, 8-11. Like, that's
see, I don't think the Ottawa Senators season is done yet, but if they do not come out of this 3-game stretch with a positive record, then it'll be over, because it's gotten to the point where I believe that Ottawa has, every team is allowed a few blunders per season. Every team is allowed a few blunders, but I think Ottawa has used up those blunders this year. They cannot have any blunders anymore.
Except they're blunders like 7 times already. So
pretty much, yeah. I think every team is allowed 5 to 7 blunders a year. Ottawa's used them up already. They're obviously not going to win every game, and I'm not expecting them to. But they cannot get blown out. They cannot lose against teams they should be winning against. If the Ottawa Senators lose against the Columbus Blue Jackets, it's done.
If they lose against Florida, I will be disappointed. Obviously, that's 2 in a row, but it's Florida. I get it. If they lose against Columbus, I will lose my mind. I'll be so disappointed.
What's Columbus's record? Just off the top,
6-12-14. They are the worst team in the NHL. They have a 3.64 points percentage. They are very bad. They're not worse in the NHL. They are the 28th team in the NHL, but still, the worst team in the Eastern.
Pretty much, yeah. So it's like, if you lose against them, like, I'm out. I'm on the fire DJ train, but we can get into that.
We'll talk about DJ next episode. We'll have a segment just about DJ, but I agree completely. I think the two you need to win, I'd be okay. Like, I don't want to lose any games. I want the Senators to go 3-0. But if I had the pick, if for this, for the trip to be successful, it has to be a 2-1-0 or a 2-0-1 for it to be more successful. So they need to get at least 1 point in each game and get more points than they're losing points. If I had to pick one game that I'd be okay with losing, it'd be the Seattle game, for the two simple reasons of, first of all, we're not losing playoff matchups against Seattle. That's fine. We're not going to see them in the playoffs unless it's Stanley Cup Finals. I don't think Seattle's making them Stanley Cup Finals this year. And second of all, they're just right now, they're a better team than the Ottawa Senators. Later on next year, maybe the year after that, that's not the case. But right now, the Seattle Kraken are genuinely a better hockey team. Ottawa has to win against Columbus. Yes. Ottawa should win against Florida.
At the very least, they need. At the very least, in my opinion, they need to get a point from Florida.
Yeah,
like, exactly. If they get 1 point from Florida, beat Columbus, and they lose to Seattle, I mean, that's 3 out of a possible 6 points, but that's kind of where Ottawa is right now, and that, like, it's going to keep them in the hunt a little bit longer. So, but like, they can't lose Florida. If they lose to Florida and Columbus, then like, what's the point? What's the? I'll drive down to the CDC and put a picket and stand on the line until certain coach is fired. But
yeah, so yeah, exactly. I think it's fair enough that I'm gonna give you guys a quick opportunity to give you closing thoughts before we move on, though, really quickly on that.
Yeah, I think Alex, you summed it up. Like, they need to, again, my closing thoughts are loss against Florida, but if they got a point out of that, I'd be happy with that. Absolutely. Even if they lose, I'd be happy with that. They have to win against Columbus, and I would love to see them win against Seattle. If they can do that, I'm happy with that. But if they aren't able to do that, and I'm afraid that they're not going to be able to do that, and I hope I'm wrong. Goodness gracious, I hope I'm wrong. But otherwise, if they're not able to, then we'll have an exciting next podcast, or potentially next podcast topic.
Might be talking about a new head coach. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Alex, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah. I mean, my club thoughts are they need, like, at bare minimum, they need 3 out of 6 points in this week. In my opinion, they need at least 3 to kind of maintain. It's not, it probably won't make them jump anybody, but at least they'll still kind of be within the range of being able to catch up. If they go over, if they get 0 to 6 points, I can't see them catch up at all. Like, especially against, like, I don't know. I think guys need to start picking up their weight as well. There's some players that I'm not going to call on anybody right now, but there's some players that are like, you need to show a bit better here and come out and, yeah, play for the crest and not for yourself. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, my closing thoughts are, I don't know anymore. I can't. This team is just so frustrated, man. But like, they need at least 3 to 6 points. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Bet the action on ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. The Ottawa Senators have been a very interesting team to gamble on lately. And while I'm not going to give you gambling advice, you definitely got to pick your bets right. I've been playing it safe lately, and I've been getting some good results. But you never know. You never know. The Ottawa Senators are not gambling favorites right now, so maybe put a couple shekels here and there. But if you download the app now, the DraftKings app, and use code THPN, new customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting $5. So that's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbooks, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Basically, put $5 into a bet, you get $150 if you win or lose. Win-win. Win-win. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after they're issued. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in Connecticut. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please, please, please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resorts, 21 age plus varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets are issued or expired after 168 hours. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions. Terms and responsible gamer resources. The NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved. And we're gonna talk really, really quickly about just a couple quick injuries. We're not going to dive into a big segment here because it's pretty straightforward. Thomas Chabot is now not playing. He's skating in regular contact jersey, and DJ Smith has said he doesn't expect Chabot to be ready for tonight's game because we're releasing this on Monday noon. So he's not expected to ice in the game, but until that's fully announced, we don't know. But he's he's not even eligible for the game, I don't think. I think that's his last game of LTIR, if I remember correctly. He's yet to be on the LTIR for at least 10 games or 30 days or whatever. But or actually, it's both. So he's not eligible till at least the Columbus game. So we'll see what happens there. Mad Sogard and Roby Järventi were sent back to the AHL. What this likely means, I don't know exactly for sure because it hasn't been announced yet, but there's a very good chance that means that Jonas Korpisalo is ready for the next game, at least to back up. That also means that it's likely that Ridly Greig is either close or he's back. I'm going to throw this to Alex really quickly to gather your quick thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I won't talk too much on it because it's pretty straightforward, but I mean, I'm glad Chabot comes back. He's, as much as people harp on him, he's much needed. He's a force back there, and he helps tremendously. So the reinforcement that we definitely need. The only thing I don't like is I got to take him off LTIR on my fantasy, and I got to find room for him. So I'm going to see who I can drop for that. For Järventi and Sogard, I think it's I love the move, sending them back down to Belleville. Järventi was a scratch, I think, the last game. So like he needs to play. I mean, same with Sogard. Like, he was dominant down in Belleville to give him some time to play. Belleville needs a bit more reinforcements too. They're starting to struggle a little bit. Get them down there. I can't speculate on Greig. I hope he comes back, because again, if we get Chabot and Greig back, that's two major adds. That'll instantly make the team better. And yeah, but I'm going to pass off to Chris for this one, because that's all I got to say.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I think, Alex, you alluded to it, but it just slots everyone better. It provides Mandelaise more time as a starter in the ECHL with the Allen Americans. So it just kind of like moves everyone down where they should be. And then that gives Sogard more of a chance to play those extra minutes. Hopefully this does mean it also moves Järventi. I think, you know, we as a group had mentioned that Järventi, you know, he's a minus five in his seven games played. He only has 1 point. Sure, he had his moments where he was good on the faceoffs and stuff like that. But I think he was obviously pushed into a position in the NHL that he wasn't quite ready for, especially I think on a fourth line. You don't really want a player like Järventi playing on the fourth line. That's not really where he needs to be. He should be playing in a middle six position. So to be able to give him those extra minutes in the AHL, I think that slots him better. If this ultimately means that Greig is ready to rock and roll, that's fantastic. That would be a great plus for this team. We saw how effective he was in his time here. I know in practice, Highmore was playing he was in the fourth line center position. And I think that that's obviously not an ideal position for him. I think that was just a filler. So I don't want people to read into that, but I would say overall, this just allows for better slotting, better positioning, and an overall stronger team. If that means that Korpisalo is ready to rock and roll, I do think that he probably gets the start against, against Florida for sure. And if we can have Greig back, I would be super stoked about that. Again, just was such an effective player, both offensively and defensively. And this is what that team needs right now.
That's a very good point. I will say, yeah, it's pretty straightforward situation there. I'm not going to spend too much more time on it, because like I said, it's just some guys going out, some guys going in, and it's good to see guys in their proper slotting back once again. And unless you guys have anything else to say,
well, Sartre can finally play in the fourth line.
Yes, Finally, yeah.
But I mean, I have no problem with the Sharks eight. I just think he's playing too high up in the lineup. So I think if Greg comes back, slotting Sharks eight down there with Kelly, and I mean, they can get rid of McEwen now until Kastelic comes back. Then I think it's a fine fourth line. But it just adds some offense to that the third line that's much needed right now. So that was kind of the players I was talking about.
I would love to see Chartier. Like, he's like a bottom six sort of center, and I would love to see him on that fourth line to be able to provide some he offers a lot of offense, but it's his defense that will help transition that game. When you watch him, you're not expecting him to play any offense. I mean, it's great to, like, you see him, he had some breakaways over the past couple of games. That's great. And he had some shots, but it's not about his offense. It's about his defense. Mm-hmm. So to be able to have him slotted better on the line, I'm all for that. Absolutely. I would love to see him on that fourth line.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to end on that, but I'm going to say I agree. I think that Rook Churchy has been a pleasant surprise. I think it's pretty much a given that he's going to go back to the AHL whenever Shane Pinto does return. But that's all right. He's been a pleasant surprise this year, and I think on most teams, he's like that 13th forward, and he's done well. So we'll see what happens. And on that note, we're just going to get into a little bit of a fun section. Before I start, I'm going to iterate that Alex nor Chris have no idea what I planned so far. All they know is that it's a start bench cut. That's all they know. I haven't told them anything else. I have seven different iterations of start bench cut, and I'm going to each give them really quickly. So I think it's time for a little bit of a fun segment before we head off for them.
It's like an early Christmas gift. This is great. It's an advent calendar. This is fantastic. I promise everyone who's listening or watching, we have no idea what's happening, and that's fine. This is great.
I'm buzzing.
I'm going to crush it, so I'm going to win.
I'm going to start off with an easy one. Number one, Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, Sidney Crosby. Chris, you go.
Oh, boy. Okay, so
McDavid. Hey, hold on. I'm going to take note here real quick. So it's McDavid, Matthews, Crosby.
Start bench cut.
Give a reasoning, like a quick reasoning for every decision.
Okay. So start McDavid. Wait. Could I ask one caveat question?
Sure.
Is it current McDavid because he's clearly injured, or is it like peak McDavid?
You know what? For today, I'm going to say, okay, here's the stakes. Game 7, triple overtime of the Stanley Cup final. Each player is in the prime of their career.
Okay, so this is
going to be that for every single question here.
Okay, so then I would say start. I'm going to say McDavid, bench, Crosby, cut, Matthews. And the reason for that is just speed. The game's so fast, and we need McDavid out there. Peak of his career, he's got it. So that's where I'm at.
Oh, boy. I mean, I honestly probably say the same thing. Start McDavid, bench Crosby, cut Matthews. There was a little hesitation on me on starting Crosby in his prime just because of his two-way dimensional play. I mean, McDavid has the speed, but Crosby has that hockey sense. I mean, to me, Matthews is a fantastic player, not denying that, but he is more of a goal scorer where McDavid and Crosby can both set up a play. So I'm starting McDavid, bench and Crosby, cutting Matthews.
Yes. I'm going to go in the same one. I'm not going to keep track of mine. Should I keep track of mine?
Absolutely. Yeah. You're a sore winner, so you may as well.
So I'm on the same boat there. 4, 5, 6, 7. All right.
Prime Crosby, man. Prime Crosby. People are sleeping on Prime Crosby. Like, I can't tell them to call David, but don't think. Like, God damn, was he a good player?
Yeah, I as you said, prime Crosby. I'm like, oh man, I really think it should have been Crosby, but I'm still thinking McDavid.
Here's a hot take, really quickly. Prime Crosby. So here's it's a two-parter. Here's a two-parter. Very, very hot take. Prime Crosby is a top five player of all time, in my opinion. And Prime McDavid is the second, if not the best, player of all time.
No.
I know that's a very, very hot take.
Disagree.
That's my take. I know you put different guys up there, but I think just skill-wise, I think McDavid's the greatest of all time.
Agree with Crosby, disagree with McDavid.
That's fair. That's fair. Chris, what are your thoughts on that?
So it's tough because it's a different league now than it was when like Gretzky was playing or you know, all those other players. It pains me to agree with Alex.
Fair.
But I do agree with Alex. Although it's very, for me, I get why you'd say McDavid. Like I absolutely get that. But I would say, Alex, you had mentioned it earlier, just around hockey IQ. And it's not just like you're quick. You're not just fast. You're not just like you can generate plays. It's that you read those plays defensively and you're able to carry those plays and essentially just carry your team. Now, arguably McDavid does that at times, but he also has Draisaitl. So like, at least right now he has Draisaitl. I would say it would be difficult for me to say he's that high, but I could see Jake why he would be higher. I can't get that high, but he would be higher on my list. Yes.
See, if you were saying if McDavid retired and had to like, finish his career, then I could probably understand a bit more. But right now, he still has so much to prove. Like he proved that he can do what he has: zero Stanley Cups, zero World Championships, zero Olympic gold medals. Like there's just
that's
so much
because he hasn't had the opportunity to play in the Olympics yet.
I agree. I'm just saying, like right now, as of right now, you can't say he's a top two player in my opinion, but. Not saying he won't be when his career's over, just right now, I cannot get on board with him being top two.
That's a fair point. In my defense, I will say I'm also 40 years younger than each of you guys. So there's that.
Okay, more. 40 is a little bit of a stretch, mostly, definitely for me. So
I'm just messing with you. You're the dad of the podcast.
I am, yeah. Somebody has to.
I guess the grandpa of the podcast. Old
yeah,
man.
Grandpa. Yeah, sorry, I agree with that. So what's your next? What's your next? Your next one.
So I'm going for this one.
Yeah.
Pardon
yeah.
me.
I'm going for.
You're going first for this one. Yeah, that's fine. We'll do like a snake draft type of thing. So Nikita Kucherov, David Pastrnak, Artemi Panarin.
Again, all in their prime.
Yeah, all
triple overtime.
Triple overtime in game 7 Stanley Cup Finals. All 7 of these guys.
Damn. Okay, well, I know. I think I'm going to start Pastrnak.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fair.
I'm going to bench Panarin and cut Kucherov.
Really?
Yes, we finally don't agree on something. I love
and,
it.
And I'll tell you my reasoning. Like, Pastrnak to me is one of the premier wingers in the league. I mean, all three of them are, let's be real. But yeah, I feel like he has a bit more dimension to his game where he can play off the puck, on the puck. And I just feel his vision is out of those two. And like, if you combine, like, Panarin has a better vision than Kucherov and Pastrnak. Kucherov has a better shot than both of them. But if you combine both of them, you get Pastrnak. So to me, that's a compromise I'm willing to take with someone who has, you know, better vision and a good shot. Like, he's a threat both times. Kucherov, the reason why I cut him, I just think he'll score for me. But you have to get him the puck, and I don't know. I just feel like Pastrnak is a better two-way guy to have on the ice at that time. Panarin's playmaking abilities are excellent, but his defensive game isn't as strong. I'm not thinking like I need a guy on the ice here. I need a guy like who can stay on the ice, play both ends of the ice, so I can get to the other end. That's the way I'm looking at it. Where Kucherov defensive game, I don't think he really has any. To be honest, he's very one dimensional, which he can score and get up and down the ice. Panarin, excellent playmaker, excellent vision, excellent hands. Defensive game, bit less, a bit better than Kucherov. Not as great. Pasternak, best of both worlds.
Good point.
Okay, so the good news is Alex gave the a great scouting report. So I will literally just say, because I don't need to say it. So I will just say Kucherov. I would have. Then I would bench Pasternak, and I would cut Panarin.
Okay. So I can see the logic behind that. I mean, Kucherov scores. Like, you need someone to score on the ice. You need someone to protect the ice, too, the other end.
I absolutely agree that he's one-dimensional, but I would just say he's so effective at scoring that takes away from any sort of defensive liabilities that he may present. So that's kind of where I was at with that one.
That's fair. Makes sense.
That's fair. I will save time really quickly by saying I don't agree with either of you, but I agree with Chris more than I agree with Alex. So
I win this one. Got it. So I'm 2-0.
Kind of,
so.
Yeah.
And I well, there we had the exact same take as the last one.
That's fine. I'm also going to be keeping track of this. So we will post this on social media after this episode airs. I want to see your guys' thoughts on this. So next, I'm going to go with start Kucherov, bench Panarin. Sorry, I messed that up. Yeah, bench Panarin, cut Pasternak.
All right, sounds good.
Nothing against Pasternak. I just think that Panarin's more clutch.
Is he though? Is he really?
Yeah.
He learned from Patrick Kane.
Yeah, well, I mean.
What has Panarin done in his career? Let's be real.
What has Pasternak done in his career?
Won some cups? More than one? I'm just saying.
Pasternak?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has a cup at Boston.
No.
Well, he needs one. So let's get him on my team.
His rookie year was 2016.
Still, I don't care. He won a cup in my heart.
And he collapsed in the 2019 Cup Finals against the St. Louis Blues.
Listen, Panarin hasn't made a Cup Final in years. So okay. I don't think he's even made a Cup Final. I'm just saying.
Okay. That's fair. That's what this is for.
I don't want to say anything about Kucherov. Kucherov's won multiple Stanley Cups.
Yeah, Kucherov for me is like I think Kucherov is currently the best right wing in the NHL, not named Matthew Tkachuk. But that's just my opinion. We can move on.
That could also be a hot take, but
definitely. There's guys like Marner, Nylander, all those guys up there. But I think number one for me is Tkachuk. Number two is Kucherov. Number three, I don't really know. I'll make a list another time. But next off, I'm going to go with a bit of a defense. Start, bench, cut. Cale Makar. Rasmus Dahlin. Adam Fox.
That's a good one.
This is great. So as a former defenseman, arguably. So again, it was Makar, Dahlin, and Fox, right?
Yes.
So that would literally be my. I would do start Makar. Bench Fox, cut Dulling.
And why?
Yes, why?
From a Makar perspective, he just can control the game in such a dynamic way that I would say that of those three players, there's no one in the league that can do that at this point. Arguably, I would say Fox was my struggle. I know that he's not playing right now as he's injured, but I would say he is a really, really good player, which is why I wanted him to be on the bench. But I would just say Makar's just like he can control the game, not just defensively, but offensively. And he has such good command with the puck. His hockey IQ is off the charts. He just understands why you would want, like, he just understands the game in such a high level that I would just say that he is someone that you want quarterbacking, whether it's a power play, whether it's a penalty kill, it doesn't matter. You throw him out there. And I'm thinking peak, and I'm thinking Stanley Cup final. Who do I want on that ice? I don't want Adam Fox, although he's on the bench. I don't want anyone else. I want Cal Makar. So that's why I would say he is the player I want on the ice, ideally for 60 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And honestly, this might be the toughest one for me. Like, I mean, no-brainer Makar starts. Like, that's kind of no-brainer. The tough part is, do I want Dahlin on the bench or do I want Fox? Like, for the triple overtime, Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm a huge Dahlin fan. I love Rasmus Dahlin, but Fox can get the puck up the ice. I'm just playing through my head because I really don't know. So I feel like I'm giving you guys a play-by-play so you can kind of see where my thoughts are. But I mean, Makar's the best defenseman in the league, so he can play both ends of the ice. That's what I love. Fox can get the puck up the ice, but he's a phenomenal skater. Dahlin is more two-way, which everybody knows I love my two-way guys. I'm gonna go bench Fox, cut Rasmus, just because Fox's skating is too elite. If he gets in trouble, like if he gives a puck away or something, he's gonna be able to get back before Rasmus, and just his puck movement ability is just better than Rasmus, I think. So I'm gonna have to go same thing as Chris.
Fair. I'm gonna go. So you go the same thing as Chris?
Yeah, exact same. Start Makar. Bench Fox.
That means I have to be different. Man, I hate you guys.
Dolly.
I have to be different now.
Cutting Dahlin kills me, man.
It kills me, too. I was originally going to do that, but I have to be different now. So
Just for the record, I had no problem cutting Dahlin. I know, Alex, I'm sorry, but I had no problem cutting him.
That's fine. We're sworn enemies until this episode's over.
Okay, I'm going to go with... I'm obviously going to start Cale Makar because that's a no-brainer. But just to be different, I'm going to start Dahlin over Fox just to be different. But honestly, those two for me are a toss-up as well. Next on, where am I now? Okay, I'm going to go. So one of these players has not played this year yet because he's just come back from injury. So don't take just the season. Same stakes. Game 7, triple overtime, Stanley Cup Finals.
Prime of their careers.
Yeah, prime of their careers. Igor Shesterkin, Ilya Sorokin, Andrei Vasilevsky. I'm going to go with Alex first. Or do you want me to go first? Completely up to you.
I'll go first just so I can get my picks in first.
So, Alex, why don't you go, and then Jake, you can go, and then I'll go.
Sure. Yep, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, to me, no-brainer, start Vasilevsky. He's a proven winner. He's the best goalie in the world still. I still think Shesterkin and Sorokin are right there, but they don't have the pedigree yet for me to be able to convince them that they're going to be able to hold their own. You know, I'm going to go with Shesterkin bench and cut Sorokin just because I feel like the Islanders are a much more defensive-minded team than the Rangers are right now. And, I mean, Sorokin is still unbelievable, but I feel like that benefits him a bit more than Shesterkin. So I feel like I'd rather have Shesterkin because I know what he can do if my defense kind of falters, if that makes sense. So start Vasilevsky, no-brainer. Bench Shesterkin, cut Sorokin. I also hate the Islanders after last week, so screw them.
Yeah. See, I think that the number one pick for me is pretty obvious as well. I think I've said this many, many times, and I know you guys don't agree with me, and it's another hot take. Hot take, Jake is back. I think Andrei Vasilevsky is the greatest goaltender in the history of the game of hockey.
You're dumb. You're stupid.
I think he's better than Martin Brodeur. I think he's better than Patrick Roy. I think he's better than... I know that's...
Holy smokes, man. Your camera's on fire right now. That's insane.
Yeah, I promise my camera didn't freeze. It's that I froze with such a ridiculously hot take.
That's probably the hottest take I've ever heard in my life. That is, I can't even explain how wrong you are. And I got to make sure you had only one drink of that alcohol because that is absolutely the craziest thing I've ever heard a human being say in my life.
Oh, man. I love you guys. I will say this. I've had this opinion for 2 years now, and I've gone on record to say as well, I don't think anybody beats Martin Brodeur's 661 win record, but if anybody does it, it's Andre Vasilevsky.
Because he's in front of a super team. Like,
it's not
that's
just
why. That. Like, you're just a sperm swimming in your swimming when Brodeur played, so.
You're going to get this podcast restricted.
I don't care. This is me unleashed.
Oh my god, Alex.
No, you can cut that, but realistically, you were super young and you didn't get to see Brodeur in his prime, so.
In all yeah, I did not see the best of Martin Brodeur, but even then, I think Brodeur is incredibly overrated. I don't even think he's a top five goalie of all time. But we can
I'm thinking my stomach right now. I can't. I'm sweating. Like I don't even know what to say, man. Like I stutter a lot, but like I feel like this is just gonna make my stuttering worse. Like
we can talk about more later date. What we'll do is in an upcoming episode, we're gonna each talk about our top three goalies of all time, and I will spend a good 15 minutes describing why Martin Brodeur is overrated. I think Craig Anderson is a better goalie than Martin Brodeur.
No, that's it. I can't be on a podcast interview. You're saying that? Absolutely no way.
I'm joking. But yeah,
I'm gonna click that. I'm not even gonna lie.
Okay,
I like.
Going back to Jake, so Vasilevsky is obviously your
side quest there.
I'm just furious right now, so I'm trying to get just some hot takes here. Hot take Jake is certainly back.
Vasilevsky start, Sorokin bench, and Shesterkin cut. And I will say this: nothing against Shesterkin. I just think Sorokin is more consistent than Shesterkin. That's all. Like skill-wise, I think they're about the same. But if I have to pick between the two, Sorokin's been more consistent for me.
It's
you could strike that up to the system he's playing behind. He's just I can't think of any time that Sorokin's had a bad game, or I can think of many times where Shesterkin has.
I can in my NHL 24 franchise mode. He shit the bed for me and lost a cup. So.
Yeah, well, that's not real life. All right, your turn, Chris.
I will say the only difference for me is just ultimately that Sorokin plays in a has up until this season played in a much better system. So I think that's why we're seeing the numbers. He's seen the numbers that he has. Otherwise, I'll make it quick and easy. Alex, I hate it once again. We're on. Thanks. We're on the same boat. So that's exactly the order that I would have gone in.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, next on the docket, a bit more Sens related for the next three or four, if I want to add an eighth one, we'll see. But next one, start, bench, cut. Tim Stützle, Jack Hughes, and I couldn't think of a third player for this. So I was going to put Matty Beniers, but that's just not fair because Matty Beniers is easy cut. So I'm going to swap that to who am I going to swap that?
Put Nathan McKinnon in there. It's freaking fun.
Nathan McKinnon. Start, bench, cut, Nathan McKinnon, Tim Stützle, Jack Hughes. I will throw this to Chris first.
I'm sweating again.
Oh, this one is a good one. Sorry, I love the Sens. I love them, but I'm going to have to go McKinnon, Stützle, and then who do we go with? Hughes? Was that the other one? Yeah, so that's probably how I go. It's so tough for me because as soon as you said Stützle, I was like, well, obviously I'm going to choose Stützle, but I think it is all obviously easy for me to say McKinnon. I would say like if we extrapolated Stutzla's career to where McKinnon's career is at right now, like McKinnon is in his prime so much further away than Stützle, who's only been around for 3 years, right? So I think that would be really tough for me. But I would say, you know, if we extrapolate what Stützle has done to this point to where McKinnon is in what he was at in his prime, I would say Stützle. But if we're talking prime, We've only seen 3 years of Stützle, but we've seen however, I don't even remember how many years McKinnon's been around for. So that's why I'm saying McKinnon, he's just so reliable. He reads the plays really well. He's engaged both offense. He's just a really well-rounded player, both ends of the ice. Stützle's getting there, but he's not there yet. We saw that in the last game. He was much better defensively in that game. And Hughes, it pains me to cut Hughes because he's obviously he does great things, but I would just say for me, it's McKinnon, Stützle, Hughes.
Yeah. And before Alex turns in, I'm going to say this. I'm shocked that you took Stützle over Hughes because a lot of people will take Hughes over Stützle. I like it, but I will say Nathan McKinnon, it took him 5 years in the NHL before he got to a point per game.
Yeah, but we're talking prime.
Sure.
We're not talking about the development. So, but
I'm not going to move goalposts.
Yes. I appreciate that. But if we're talking prime, that's the problem is that prime, do we extrapolate what we've seen with Stützle in 3 years to McKinnon's same prime? That's the struggle. Because if we do that, it's Stützle, McKinnon, Hughes. I'm cutting Hughes. It's just a debate as to whether or not I want to, however we want to, equate that sort of the first two. So
I'll challenge with this. Nathan McKinnon so far in the NHL has one 100 point season. That was last year. We scored 42 goals, 69 assists for 111 points in 71 games. This year, Tim Stützle in his fourth NHL season, he's on pace for 112 points. That is more points than McKinnon's career high.
So Jake, you're saying you're going to go Stützle, McKinnon, Hughes?
No, I still go. Actually, you know what? Yes. Just to be the oddball, Stützle, McKinnon, Hughes is what I'm going to go. But honestly, the top two are flippable. I like Jack Hughes, but I've got to put my boy Timmy before Hughes.
I'm gonna get this podcast canceled. I'm gonna go McKinnon, Hughes, Stützle.
That's fair.
Like McKinnon, I mean McKinnon is prime. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's a great leader. I don't care if he has 100 point season or not. You kind of know what you get with them. Jack Hughes and Stützle. I mean, like. Projection at this point, and like I love Stützle so much. I just think Hughes has a better projection ahead of him, and I just think overall, I think Hughes will be the better player at the end. But it's gonna be very close, and they're gonna be like head to head for years. I just think Hughes just I just feel like Hughes' hockey IQ is a bit better than Stützle's at the peak. So.
It's okay, Alex. The good news is your pink slip for this podcast is already in the mail. So you're good. You had a good run.
That's fine. I already expedited yours, so you'll be gone before me.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I love this. But yeah, I will say, I think that Tim Stützle and Jack Hughes are carbon copies of one another. It's literally just that Jack Hughes is 1 year older. That's it. So Jack Hughes will always appear to be one step above Stützle, but keep in mind that he's always going to be a year older than Stützle.
I just think, and this is where my difference is, I think more Jack Hughes, I think, is a game changer. Stützle, I think, is a game changer, but with complementary players. Like, I feel like he can change a game, but I feel like Hughes just has a bit more skill than him to be able to do it by himself, or I feel like Stützle is going to need to rely a bit more on his teammates. As much as I hate that, because he's my favorite player on the team and like one of my favorite centers of all time. He's only played 3 years. Like,
did you not see that beautiful pass to Brady Tkachuk? It was like an Ovechkin-esque shot, but it was a pass instead.
That's what I mean. It was a pass. Like he had like
great.
I don't know, man.
I would say, and this is all I'll say on that. It was not a good read on the defenseman. So no, that was 98% luck, that it actually made it. But it was skill. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to take that away from skill, from being able to spin and shoot it straight across in a straight line, right across. But no one read that play properly.
If anybody on that ice could pull it off, Tim Stützle.
I
cannot name you anybody else on that ice who would have been able to do that.
In that game, yes.
Nobody. In that game, nobody else could have pulled that off.
I could agree. Yes, and that's what I thought as well. Yes, I could agree with that.
I also think Jack Hughes is a better skier than Tim Stützle. I'll leave it at that.
That's fair.
Next. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I'm already sick to my stomach. I'm going to throw up. So let's next.
Let me just make sure I wrote this down really quick. Number 5. Okay, awesome. Next, I will go to... This is an All Sens one. Thomas Chabot, Jake Sanderson, Jake Chychrun. Chris, you first.
Alex.
You went first last time, to be fair.
Sorry. Yes, Alex, you first. My bad.
I think this one's a bit easier, to be honest. Like, I think I start Sanderson. The tough part's Chabot or Chychrun.
Yeah.
Chabot, cut Chychrun. And sorry, Chris. I mean, Sanderson's a no-brainer. He's the best defenseman on the team, so that's pretty easy.
Whoops.
Chabot, I just feel like Chabot brings more to the team offensively. And if he didn't play 27 minutes a game, I feel like he would be a better all-around player than Chychrun. I really like Chychrun, but I have noticed he's a bit of a mental lapse here and there, where he makes a play. His skating is the worst, by all three. Like, he's the worst. He's not a bad skater. Just between those three, he's the worst skater. So that kind of made my decision. Is first of all the skating ability. Second of all, I think the offensive flair that Chabot can bring. I don't know. Like, now I might be changing my mind, because I was thinking 3-on-3 overtime, but it'd be 5-on-5. Oh boy! No, I'm gonna just for the sake of the podcast, I'm gonna stick with Chabot. I think he brings a bit more offensive flair to the team than Chychrun does. So,
all right. What about you, Chris?
I actually am relieved that I don't have to agree with you. I would say Sanderson, obviously. Like, you got to start him. If you're not choosing him, you're an idiot. But I would say I would actually bench Chychrun and cut Chabot. The reason for it is, I mean, Sanderson, we talk about that for days. Everyone knows why you'd want to start him. I would say the aggressiveness, this is the old Mathot Carlson debate.
Yes.
Where if you create a really good pairing, because Chychrun is always, he's actually fairly good defensively, but he's a really, really aggressive in the offensive zone. So you'll often see him playing down low. He's not unafraid to go to enter the zone carrying the puck. He'll be in front of the net, all that sort of stuff. Whereas if you pair him with someone, he can actually be a really, really effective defenseman, because you know that's what you're going to get from him. You're going to get someone who is a really aggressive defenseman. And that I appreciate more, because you can create a really good dynamic between an offensively minded defenseman and a defensively minded defenseman. So like a Chychrun Zub would be great, because Zub's always going to play back. Chychrun is going to play forward, and he has a howitzer of a shot. And he is going to lead a really, really good and likely a second power play unit. I love that way more than I love a Chabot. But Alex, I will throw it to you and say, or not throw it to you, but I will say I do appreciate the fact that Chabot has played way high. His minutes have been way higher than they should have been. And if he was brought back, we've seen it. If he's brought back to like 24 minutes, thereabouts, 23, 24 minutes, he can be a really, really effective player. And I think we're all now, like, we can see what he is now, but that's because he's played like 3 or 4 seasons of constantly playing 28 minutes. Imagine what that does to you. But I still think at this point, I really want, I love Chychrun. I love what he brings to the game. I love how, it's just how aggressive he is in the offensive zone. I love that. So it's Sanderson, Chychrun, Shabbat.
See, this is where I'm going to spark some debate. Of course, Sanderson is number one, but I will say, one big area that Sanderson has to improve is his game. And it's not that he's bad at it. He's just, last couple of games, I've been missing a consistent elite pass. He's got one, an amazing pass, but his pass has ups and downs. I want him to find more consistency in that elite pass. That's Sanderson's weakness for me, and he'll work on it over time. But I think the big reason, one of the big reasons why Norris hasn't been scoring as much in the as he has in the past, other than coming back from an injury, is a lot of Norris's one-time goals on the power play are direct feeds from Thomas Chabot. Out of all of Ottawa's defensemen, I think Chabot is the best passer, Chychrun is the best shot, and Sanderson is the smartest. That's how I rank those three players. So it goes, what do I want? Number one, I want the smartest player, but then I want the player who's most willingly, most capable of putting the puck at the back of the net, because I need someone who's going to score that game-winning goal if nobody else is able to. So in that sense, I'm going to starch Sanderson, bench Chychrun, and cut Thomas Chabot. And I hate saying that, because I'm a Thomas Chabot Schroofer. You can see his jersey right around here in the background. I love Thomas Chabot, but I think you have to value in the game 7 triple overtime for the Stanley Cup, you have to value a shot over a pass.
I don't know, man. Like, Chabot's playmaking is elite. Like, it is. His vision on That's the ice is incredible. Like, you have Chabot on the ice, then you have Norris, Brady, and Stützle down there. Like, this is, something's gonna happen.
That's but, what I'm I mean, saying. It pains me. It really, really pains me. But I at that moment in time, everybody's gassed. I need someone who's able to play those tough minutes. Chabot has shown to be able to do it. Chabot has shown that he – sorry, I came out wrong. Chabot has shown he's able to do it, but he gets gassed when he does so. And at that point, at triple overtime, you're going to be at close to 80 minutes of time on ice for Chabot. He's gassed after 27 minutes. I don't want to see him on 80 minutes.
I just think his skating is so good that it's not going to make a difference. At that point, everybody's going to be gassed, so he's going to be able to skate. I mean, the bright side about this answer is that the Sanderson's a correct number one, and then between Chychrun and Chabot, there really is no wrong answer. It's just what you prefer on the ice at a certain point. So
that's fair.
Anyway, let's go on to the next one, because we're getting...
Let's go on to the next one, and I have to ask you guys, do you guys want to stop at 7, or do you want to stop at 8? Because I've got a really fun one last. They're both fun.
I think let's just do all of them, and then you edit and see where you're at, and if you need to cut one out, you cut one out. I just like talking and debating, so...
That's fair. Okay. The before final one, can I go first on this one? Or do you want me to go last on this one?
Go first, that's fine. You haven't gone first on a bunch, so that's fine.
Fair. Start, bench, cut, Drake Batherson, Vladimir Tarasenko, Claude Giroux. I think it's pretty easy. The cut's the easiest one, but the other two is pretty hard. For me, I think I'm going to start Claude Giroux. I'm going to bench Vladimir Tarasenko, and I'm going to cut Drake Batherson.
I have the same answer as you. And I'll let Chris answer, but then I'll go into why I picked that.
No, Jake, if you want to give a justification, and then I'll tell you you're wrong.
Okay, so first and foremost, let's talk about Batherson. I think Drake Batherson is an incredibly underrated force in the NHL. But his biggest issue is he has to find consistency. That's his biggest issue. And he's going to figure it out, because I think he will. He has the talent to. He's so, so good. 2 years ago, he was Ottawa's best forward. He's just so, so good. But now you got to go Claude Giroux or Vladimir Tarasenko. While you'd think that I'd go with Tarasenko based on the fact that he's won a cup and he was arguably St. Louis's best player in that cup run, if not the best, one of the best, I value the power of the ginger beard more. I'm joking. I value the leadership qualities that Claude Giroux brings. And that's not to say that Vladimir Tarasenko doesn't bring those. But I think that Claude Giroux is a more well-rounded player compared to Tarasenko. Tarasenko is no slouch, but he's an all-shot guy with a good enough pass, and he's a slouch defensively, in my opinion. He's been better this year than he has been in the past, but I still take – I would rather play Claude Giroux on the penalty kill than I would play Tarasenko on the penalty kill, just to put it simple. And I think that Claude Giroux has an equally good shot as he does as a pass. And he sees the game in such an elite mind. And he's able to kick the guys in their butt when needed. You see him do it all the time. On that note, who am I throwing to? I'm throwing to Chris.
I'll just say, before Chris goes in, just keep in mind this is in their prime. Giroux in his prime is the best of those three. Tarasenko in his prime was absolute steal. Batherson, I think, is in his prime right now. And there's some concern to have about his game. Fair. I'm just gonna leave it at that, and that's why I made a choice.
I understand the concerns with Batherson. I think he is coming into his prime, and I think we're starting to see that, especially in this last game. I think was, from what I recall, probably his best game so far of the season against the Islanders. I would say, for me though, I'm going to just try to be a little bit different here, and I'm going to say Giroux is an easy first pick. Absolutely. I would then bench Batherson, cut Tarasenko.
Really?
All right, fair.
Can you explain why?
I just think that there's – so Tarasenko – and I'm going to keep this brief. Tarasenko, what – Batherson brings is exactly what Tarasenko brings, except Tarasenko has more time in the league. They're both defensive liabilities, but they're both, you know, really, really great in the offensive zone. And I just like the way that Batherson is able to read plays. And I think that he's able to read plays. And again, I'm trying to do my best to think about this in their primes. I just think that Batherson, outside of his defensive liabilities, which again, Tarasenko has as well, I just really like Batherson's speed and the way that he is able to move up and down the lineup and still generate plays regardless of which line he plays on.
I mean, I'm fair. I'm not going to argue too much, but Tarasenko has 40 goals in the prime, so... I look what you're saying, and it makes a lot more sense. I think Batherson is more responsible two way as well. So, I mean, you're wrong, but I get what you're saying. So
here's where I come in here. I'm gonna start by saying Claude Giroux obviously is the best player of the team. Between these three players, he's the most likely to reach the Hockey Hall of Fame. If he actually does reach the Hockey Hall of Fame, that's a discussion for another day. But out of these three players, he's the most likely to. And he's the guy who's he has 1,000 points. Tarasenko doesn't have 1,000 points. Batherson doesn't have 1,000 points. Giroux has it. Giroux has, I believe. Here, let me actually double check this really quickly.
We can wrap this up soon though, because
yeah, it's
getting a little long.
Yeah, absolutely. So Giroux has 334 career goals, while Vladimir Tarasenko has, I think, around the same. But I will double check here. Just give me 2 seconds. As soon as it loads, dang NHL website. So in basically half the games played, Tarasenko has 273 goals. So not even 100 less goals. But he's also got half the points. So Giroux is the best player between all three. No questions asked. Tarasenko is more of a shooter than Batherson. But I think that Batherson is a at the end of the day, I think he'll be a 60 to 80 point player. Whereas if you look at Claude Giroux, on average, he's good for a point per game. On average, his highest is.
I don't think the argument here is Giroux's number one. It should be between Batherson and
Tarasenko.
Yeah, you don't need to convince us about Giroux's number one.
That's fair. I think that over his career, I actually agree with Chris here that so far, I think Batherson is a 60 to 80 point guy. Tarasenko is exactly that. I think that Tarasenko is going to score more goals than Batherson does, but they're each 60 to 80 point guys. So it just depends if you value the goal more or the assist more. On that note, this one's going to be a bit more fun one on the last one. Keith Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk, Matthew Tkachuk. I'm going to throw this one at Alex. Or sorry, who went first last time?
I can go first. That's fine. Chris has even thought. I'll go first.
Go ahead. No, Alex, this is up to you.
I'm going to say Keith Tkachuk start. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Matthew Tkachuk bench, Brady Tkachuk cut.
Really?
And the reason for that, I mean, Keith Tkachuk was an absolute, like, he dominated when he was so good in his prime. Money's a completely different era, so it's hard to really say, but like, he was clutch. Like, he was just so good. I think we've seen Matthew in his prime last year during the playoff run, which is why I want to bench him. I do think I would rather have Brady in the long term, but it's hard for me to project Brady like, being a better offensive player than Tkachuk than Matthew right now. So that's why I chose Matthew. I think Matthew would be more clutch than Brady at this point. I think Brady is a better leader overall. But if I want someone on the ice to score a goal for me in game 7 of triple overtime in the second playoffs, I would choose Matthew over Brady.
Jake, do you want to go next?
Oh, I can. If you're not ready, I can go next.
I know. Yeah. But Jake, why don't you go next?
Okay. So this is where I'm going to catch a lot of heat, and I know I've caught a lot of heat this podcast. I'm benching Matthew Tkachuk. Sorry, I'm cutting Matthew Tkachuk. I'm cutting Matthew Tkachuk. I'm benching Keith, and I'm starting Brady. And I know I'm going to get a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, that one's tough, but I mean, like, they're all Tkachuks. They're all dominant forwards on the ice, but Keith was just something else in his prime, man.
I'll explain it in this sense. Matthew Tkachuk has scored. I'm not saying Matthew is a benefactor of who he's playing with, but let's not hide the fact that last year Matthew Tkachuk played on the team that reached the Stanley Cup Finals. And while he's a very important it was because of him, yes. But he's not playing with any slouches either. He's playing with Alexander Barkov. And who else was on his line last year? I forget. But he was playing, like, I'm a duos guy. He was playing with Alexander Barkov. At this point in time, Alexander Barkov is better than Tim Stützle. Just putting it out there. The year beforehand, he was playing with Johnny Gaudreau. They each scored 100 points. It takes a lot to do 100 points, but I think they both benefited from playing with each other. I'm not saying Matthew's better than Johnny Gaudreau, yes. But I think they helped each other out. And so I also think that I value Brady's leadership over Matthew simply because Brady was willing to sign a long-term contract 3 years before Matthew was willing to. Brady was picked to be the captain of his team. Matthew wanted to be captain of his team, but wasn't chosen as captain of his team.
Let's be clear. Matthew wanted to sign a long-term contract in Calgary. The ownership didn't want to pay him the money.
Yeah, it's a very complicated situation. He wanted to be the face of the team, and for whatever reason, ownership, management, all that stuff decided he was not the face of their franchise. So I think Brady is more valuable in that sense, and Brady was able to score 35 goals last year, I think it was, and then 35 the year before. And I think it was 31 the year before that. So he's had 3 30-goal years in a row, if my memory serves me correct. I could be wrong on that. But Brady's just an absolute madman. And Keith, he's a Hall of Famer. You can't cut Keith. So I wanted to start Keith, but I've got to go for my captain, Brady Kachuk. I've got his jersey right up here to the left of me. So that's my take. Chris, what about you?
I'll make it quick because you both are wrong. It's going to be Keith, Brady, Matthew.
Matthew and Brady, I mean, it could go either way. I just, after Matthew's performance in last playoffs, it's hard for, it's just hard for, right now, I have nothing to go off of Brady. Like, I'm trying to think of it in their prime. Brady's in his prime right now, and it's like, there's really nothing to, he's pretty close to his prime, man. He's like, pretty close.
What you're debating right now is the difference between Matthew and Brady in the playoffs, but we haven't actually seen Brady in the playoffs. So I'm looking at the season, and I understand that obviously, like, it might be tainted a bit because you've also seen Matthew, like, in the season and in the playoffs. So that kind of like shows you maybe a more complete player, maybe a player that can elevate it to another level, but you haven't seen that from Brady. And I think Brady will be able to get,
you're not wrong. I just think Matthew, like, personally, I think Matthew has a bit more skill than Brady. I think Brady's overall is the better, like, overall player. But I think overall, if I want someone on the ice to score a goal, in the 9 minutes of a Stanley Cup Finals game, I'm going to choose Matthew because I just think he's a bit more skilled than Brady. That's the only reason why.
He's also done that, right? Like, we saw it last season. We saw him do exactly what you're describing. So
I have seen Brady put the Sens on his shoulder as well and carry the team to victory himself. But I just think, in their prime, like, Kachuk was filthy. Like, Matthew was in his prime. In my opinion, he was in his prime in Calgary. Like, and he slowly kind of on the fade, and he was at unit in Calgary. No one talked about him, but like, he was just so good. So
yeah.
I mean, I hope Brady proves, like, I hope Brady surpasses Matthew in every sense of the word. I just find it really hard to do that right now, just because I know, like, Brady's, basing off the prime, Brady's just either in his prime or be there in a year or two, and it's just I don't know. I just feel like Matthew can find the next level, or I mean, Brady can, but I feel like Matthew's a bit more skilled offensively. So
that's fair. On that note, though, I will cut it short. We just spent the last hour talking about 24 players. So on that note, thank you so much to everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Alex, for participating in my little game. I promise you my next game is not going to take an hour to do. I thought we'd fly through that a lot quicker, but there were a lot of hot takes. So I have taken note of what's worked. It's been a super, really good idea. But an hour and 42 minutes is a bit much. So we're going to cut the podcast short there. And it was super, super fun to chat with you guys tonight. And as soon as this gets up, it's going to be up. And we're going to be able to see who agrees with who. And we're going to follow it up with a nice social media interaction post a little bit after the episode goes out to see what everybody agrees with. So tune in to that social media wise if you guys are interested. Our Twitter is @SomeSens. You can find us on Twitter. Our handles are on the screen, but I'll read them out to you for those not watching on YouTube. Alex, you can be found at AlexLongwy15 on Twitter. Chris can be found at Chris Sinclair with 3 R's at the end. And I can be found at Jake_LeRevere. These handles will also be in the podcast show notes. Once again, thank you very much, DraftKings, for sponsoring us. And we are a very, very proud member of the Hockey Podcast Network. On that note, all I've got to say is go Sens go.